Good evening and welcome. This is Darkness Radio Presents Severing Spirit Attachments with the Living and the Dead. Our guests tonight, Echo Bodine and Jamie Houck. And I will apologize up front for all of you that have an Echo device in your house. That name's going to come up a lot tonight, so it may be listening to me. I may force it to buy my products. You just don't know how it's going to turn out, but you have been warned. Go turn off your Echo devices if you have them in earshot of tonight's program. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and spending a little time with us. I want to remind everybody, you keep asking, where can you see me? Where are we going to be? Michigan Paracon is coming up at the end of August. You can meet me at the Michigan Paracon along with Cindy Kaza and Shane Pittman from the Holzer Files. We'll be there. I'll also be doing, aside from the talks, I'll also be doing a workshop on intention and how to use intention in the paranormal, in investigating, and in changing and altering aspects of your life. What? That's right. Time travel within yourself. I believe we can achieve it. I'll talk to you about how we can do that when you join us at the Michigan Paracon, miparacon.com. That's the website you want to go get tickets at the Sault Ste. Marie casino up there, the Sioux. It is amazing. We have a great time up there. There are, let me try to remember. We've got Kindred Spirits is going to be there. Holzer Files is going to be there. The Ghost Brothers are going to be there. Ghost Nation and Ghost Hunters are going to be there. We've got all types of celebrities, psychics, mediums. We've got all the people that you love to watch on your favorite paranormal programs are going to be up there. So you can find more information at miparacon.com, and I hope you'll come on out and spend a little time with us. Exciting things going on, folks. Listen, I've been putting up, slowly trickling out, some of the haunted dolls, as I promised. Tomorrow, Friday, for those of you watching this live Thursday night, tomorrow will be Friday for those of you listening to the podcast. Holy crap, it's already Friday and you're listening to us right now. I have got a brand new haunted doll that I'll be putting up on my Facebook page, and we'll be taking bids. It'll go from tomorrow morning until midnight Central tomorrow, Friday. And if you're interested, you'll have to go on there and bid. Please don't put comments. I don't want your, oh, I can't do it, that's too frightening for me. Just only the bids, because that's how I'm going to be able to keep track of it. And what happens is somebody bids $50 and then three people make comments of, oh, that's terrifying. Oh, I don't want a haunted doll. Oh, that's creepy. And then somebody else puts another bid in for $50 and people can't keep track. So if you can, just play it down. Here is the sweetie that will be going up tomorrow. She's a big girl, and she is one of the most unique of the dolls that I've gotten. And again, I know just very little about her, in the fact that the reports I have, and this face is a fabric face. I've never seen one like this before, one of the dolls. This is a fabric face, painted fabric. It's a beautiful doll. The family got her, from my understanding, from an antique store. They had her at home. The daughter did not like this doll. She kept talking about the shadow in her room that always stood in the corner by where the doll was perched on the shelf. And the little girl did not want this. Now, the adults never saw this. Nothing scary. It wasn't like knives came flying off the shelves or plates were breaking. It's just a little shadow kid that hangs around with this doll. As I've told you in the past, I do not engage with these dolls. I do not talk to them. I do not try to get EVP from them, because I don't want to give any kind of energy to these beings. If there is something attached to the doll, I usually try to help them pass over. And by not paying attention to them, that seems to be a big part of it. So I keep it wrapped in holy bubble wrap. I believe each bubble has been breathed into by the Pope himself. Probably not true. I just have some bubble wrap. I put them out in my garage in a box, and that's where I keep all of these creepy kids. So if you're interested, she's a big girl. She will be on our page tomorrow, and she's bendable. You can pose her, so you can sit her on your shelf. Look at that. She sits up. You can have her around. If you're interested, make sure you check out my Facebook page tomorrow. It is Darkness Radio Dave on Facebook. She will be up in the morning, and the bidding will begin all throughout the day. And again, thank you so much. As I've told you, the money is going to help out with medications for family and everything with insurance. As crazy as it's been, having family members with Crohn's and diabetes and special issues and needs, it can get overwhelming. So that's, I'm clearing out the closet, taking back my closet and my garage, so I actually have room to park the car this year. That was one of the tasks I was tasked with by my wife. So I'll clear out these areas, and you get the benefit of having the haunted doll if you'd like it. I'll also include a letter with it, with a photograph of the doll that shows that's the doll I sent to you, and it tells you the little brief story I've got about it. So now that you know about that, let's move on to today's topic, because we are talking about spirit attachments. And severing these type of attachments. And last week on the show, we were talking about the fact that, you know, healers and people with that skill come into contact. And I've gotten a lot of letters from people that do Reiki and other modalities of healing and how they've been doing Reiki on somebody and suddenly they'll feel energies of their family members around them. Sometimes messages will come through. I've had chiropractors and masseuses tell me the same thing. People that are not normally who you would consider to be sensitives. They're not mediums or psychics, or at least not that they're advertising it. And they'll tell me that there are times when you're working out a tight muscle or tension and suddenly they'll feel a message. They'll feel the call to tell their patient something. Sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. And sometimes they've seen the spirit in the room with them. That's fascinating to me. What really blew me away was chiropractors I've spoken to throughout the years. I don't think I've run into one chiropractor who hasn't had a haunted office. And again, if you're aligning those chakras, and maybe you don't even know that, I know a lot of the chiropractors are very much into holistic medicines and understanding this, and they'll do acupuncture, which is, again, aligning energy, clearing energy, doing this. And many of these chiropractors have told me about spiritual activity that takes place in their office. And sometimes it's just very benign. Sometimes it can get a little weird for them. So I had people ask, they wanted to know more about this. Who can we speak to? Dave, you got to get some people on that can talk about this a little bit more. So I decided I'd pull in two friends of mine. One of them, the grand dame of psychic mediumship. She has been a longtime friend of our show. As a matter of fact, she was a regular contributor for a few years back in the day when we were on KTLK. And she has got so much going and writing and her workshops and doing things that we are unable to always have her on the program. And it's been a long time since she's visited with us. But as always, I reach out to her. She was willing to come on and spend a little time with us. For any of you that write to me and ask, how do I deal with developing my own abilities or helping my child to develop their abilities? I always recommend two books, The Gift and A Still Small Voice. Both of those books are written by the next guest that I'm bringing onto the show. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Echo Bodine. Hey, Echo. Oh,
God. Dave, you always give me the best introductions I have ever heard in my whole life.
And I mean it with all sincerity. I mean, we absolutely love you.
I mean, come on. It's like, holy smokes, I'm better than the Pope.
Well, a little bit, just a little bit. But don't tell the Pope. His feelings get hurt easily.
Are you Catholic? Of course you are.
No, I'm not. Just because I have 11 kids doesn't mean I'm Catholic.
David, it's up to 11.
Well, I have 8. My wife has 3. You piece them together, we've got 11. And I love her boys like they're my own. So, yes, we have 11 children.
Of course you do. You have 11 children.
Yes.
David.
I know. Echo, a lot has changed. I don't know if I've told you this, that shortly after my mom passed away in 2016,
yeah. Okay.
2017, my cousin, who's big into ancestry and genealogy, reached out to me and she said, hey, your mom was going to do ancestry.com for me. She was going to spit in the vial, send it in, and we'll see if we can open up any new branches on the family tree. And I said, that's cool. She goes, well, your mom's gone now. You're the next line. Would you mind doing this? And I said, sure. So I spit in the cup and a couple weeks later found a daughter I never knew existed.
Stop it.
I know, right? So it was very cool. And I know.
Dave?
I know. I'm just as surprised as you. Trust me. This was my high school friend. Well, grade school. I met her when I was just a little guy, 6, 7 years old. We became friends for years. She was a couple years older than me, lived across the street. And, you know, we listened to music together. She taught me board games and introduced me to the Monkees and the Beatles and all of these great musical deals. And as we got older and sex came up, she was just very, what's your questions? Well, come here, I'll show you. And then I remember when she got pregnant, she said, I said, is it mine? She goes, no, idiot, you're 14. It's my boyfriend. He's 19. He's a man. I'm like, oh, never crossed my thoughts again until I got the ancestry.com.
No. And then
I look up this girl online, find her. And sure enough, in her friends list is my old friend. Yep. So she had been given up for adoption, came back into my friend's life. Came back into my life and just in the right time as well, because it was right after mom passed. And then sadly, my friend passed this last year during COVID, her mother. Yeah. So it brought my daughter and I together, which I knew my mom would have always wanted. So it was beautiful to have that connection.
I'm right.
But that's not the end of it. Echo Bodine.
Oh, I want to hear the rest. David Trader.
This last year, I am on set of the Holzer Files, and we're in a break during filming, and I open up my phone, and I have an email from snarkyt.com, and it says ancestry.com results. And I thought, oh, this is a hoax email because it's coming from a different one claiming to be Ancestry. And I open it up, and it's like, hey, my name is Jenny Lynn. I think my dad is your dad. We bought him an Ancestry.com kit, and I finally got to meet my biological dad I never got to meet. And it turns out I have seven brothers and sisters. And
wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Oh, so, see, we've got these spiritual attachments that find us.
Honey. You met your dad?
Yes, finally. I got to meet my biological dad. And listen, I grew up with a dad, Jim, who was there from the beginning when I was 2 years old, 1.5, 2 years old, came into my mom's life, has loved me like his own son. Okay. And he is my dad.
Yeah.
Bill is a great guy. He is my dad. And we've connected great. And I've got beautiful sisters, wonderful family that I've had a chance to meet, a couple of them. I'm hoping to meet more, but this damn COVID keeps getting in the way. But it's been amazing.
I mean, could we just spend the whole show talking about this? Because this is like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
It's sisters and brothers.
Sisters. And that means there's more of me procreating. By the end of the century, believe that half of the population of Earth will be my family.
Traitors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So. Holy smokes, honey. This is really exciting, though.
Yeah, it is, right? And you talked about this. You talked to me about the universe bringing things to us, and it doesn't always come in our time, which I think is
a powerful
message. I've always wanted to meet my biological father, and I found out why I didn't. He told me I wasn't a good guy for a long time. I was messed up from the military and working in the police. If you'd have met me 10 years ago, you wouldn't like me. I wouldn't have liked you. He's finally at a place in his life where he's older, he's mellowed out, he's a great guy, and everything happens when it's supposed to.
Yeah, I get it, honey. I get it. Oh, I'm so excited about this.
Pretty
this
neat, huh?
This kind of stuff excites me more than anything ever when people adoptees get to finally meet their families. I just think it's so cool. Oh, my God.
So it's been very exciting. I know we've missed out on a lot together with this stuff, but I wanted to share that because I remember you telling me times that, Dave, there's other things out there that are going to find their way to you, and you just have to be patient, and they don't always come when you expect them to, but they will come when it's the right time.
Yeah, but honey, who thought it was going to be a whole family? Like almost a 12-pack of Schraders out there.
I know. I went from absolutely no brothers and sisters to seven brothers and sisters, and I'm the oldest and best looking, if I have to be honest with you.
Of course.
Beautiful sisters and brothers.
Do they look like you, honey? Do any of them look like you?
We have similarities, and my daughters look a lot like my sisters, so it's really sweet, and it's a nice connection. But my father has a full head of hair, the jerk.
Well, you know, it's got to do with your mom's side of the family.
My mom's dad had hair till he died.
Well, see, that's just not right.
You know why? Because I have 11 children. That's why this is gone.
Oh, I completely understand that. Yeah.
But I want you to know the ghost hair does exist. There are times I find myself sweeping it back when I'm listening to 80s music. Echo, you are a healer. You're somebody that has been a medium, a psychic, has helped spirits to cross over. People have called you in as a ghostbuster to help out in your healing modality. And you work with Reiki. Right? Is that the modality?
I don't call it Reiki. I've never taken a Reiki class, honey, but I mean, laying on hands is what I do. Yeah.
Right. All right. So in those moments of laying on of hands and working with people, do you find that sometimes the maladies that they're dealing with are tied to spiritual connections to the living and the dead?
You know, honey, I mean, when I've done healings on people and there's a release, there's usually an emotional story to it. Like, this was a good story. This guy came, he had asthma so bad that when he got out of his car in the front of my house to come into my office on the side of the house, you could... You can hear him breathing like that, right? Okay. And so I put my hands on his chest and I'm channeling healing. And whoa, all of a sudden, this whole picture of when he was a little boy, and then there was a man, and the man had suitcases, and he walked out of the little boy's life, and the little boy watched him. And they said, and right after that, he got asthma. And so I said to him, Okay, did a man leave your life? You look like you were age 3 years old, and there's a story in your lungs of a man leaving your life, and he said, yeah, that happened, but that has nothing to do with asthma. And he said, my therapist told me you were going to try this on me and tell me that it has to do with my past. And he said, but my past has nothing to do with my health.
But he wasn't putting together the fact that you didn't know his past and that you dug that, out exactly, from that moment.
I said to him, now, I said, your lungs just told me that story. And he said, no, they didn't. Hello. Okay. And so he came back a second time and he said, okay, I was able to breathe better after that last appointment, but don't you try that crap on me again about my past, because it has nothing to do with it.
I love good open-mindedness when you go to a healer and a medium and psychic.
Yes,
that's always very helpful.
Yeah. The other thing is, the second time when I hit my hands on him, the word abandonment in huge letters across his chest. And I said, okay, look, I know you don't want to believe this, but this is all about abandonment issues. He said, I don't have abandonment issues. Everybody I know has left me, but that has nothing to do with abandonment. What? Okay, so this is the kind of stuff that I see is, if there's a physical problem and I got my hands on it, I can see the emotional connection, the experience in his life when it started. That's the kind of thing I see, honey. And I have, you know, yes, I will admit, I have seen attachments on people. Like where I see them is on the side of the person. Like they've just kind of hitched a ride on and they're just going through life with the person. I know, honey. Yeah. But
here, real quick, have I got anything I need to be worried about, Echo?
No,
I mean, except for the extra 50 pounds hanging over my belt.
Honey, I really don't think that you have to worry about spirit attachments.
Echo, tell me it's a big spirit hanging around my stomach, please.
Oh, and okay, get rid of it. Yeah, let me see. No, it is.
Dave, I look and I see the word donuts over your stomach.
unfortunately, no, honey.
Damn it.
No spirit attachments.
I guess it's just fat. Yeah. Thank you, Echo.
Yes, you're welcome, honey.
I knew my therapist was going to tell you.
You should have listened to your therapist and not told me. I know.
My therapist tells me that it's a demon. So I don't know. Maybe you're wrong. He's right. I could be wrong.
Here we go with the demons. Okay.
Right, exactly.
Yep, here we go.
So, and now bringing in our second guest for this evening as well, I had a chance to meet this young lady at the paranormal conference, the Para Unity conference that just took place in Duluth, Minnesota. Okay. And she had such a great light. She had just such a great energy. My daughter and I and some of the people we hung out with just felt very drawn to her and enjoyed her company and what she brought to the pod. And, you know, as I was talking about doing this, I said, Jamie, would you be interested in joining us for this conversation? She agreed to do it. So joining us now on the program as well, Jamie Haupt. Jamie, thank you so much for being here. The Indigo Seeress. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah. Okay, so you got to help us out because I don't know what that means. Help our listeners. What is an Indigo Seeress?
I chose indigo just because I'm technically from the indigo era children in that. And also I love the color purple in that. So I figured that was a nice mesh of it. And me, I always like to be unique and a little bit different, you know? And so I was like, what else can I do? And so I was thinking of around that point in time, seers were coming up a lot, like past life or, you know, the oracles and all that kind of stuff. Right. And so I was thinking, okay, I'll do seer, but the female version of that is seeress. So I came up with indigo seeress.
Yeah. Oh,
fancy. Look at that. See, you know what? This is what I learned from Echo Bodine. If you can see things, you're clairvoyant. If you can hear things, you're clairaudient. If you can smell things, it's clairgustance.
Good boy.
I remember that. And then if you've got it all, you're clairsentient. Oh. And now I know that seer and seeress is not a seahorse. It is you, in fact, female seer.
Yeah.
I learn, Echo. See, I'm never too old to learn.
Oh, honey. All I can think of, honey, is how can you afford 11 children? I can't get past that 11.
Still stuck on that.
I'm stuck on that one, honey.
That's why I'm selling haunted dolls out of my garage.
Sounds like desperation, actually.
A little bit. It really is. Okay, all right. Yeah, but I've embraced it like my belly. I just learned to live with it.
I'm sorry, Jamie. I had to jump in there. It's the question to keep knocking on my brain.
Okay. It's okay.
It's the demon attached to my stomach.
That's right. That's what was silly me.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, Jamie, working with people, helping them connect and communicate, how often do you encounter that what they've got with them as well is echoes of their own? Ooh, echo again. Redundant. Echoes of past lives, echoes of things that they've gone through, and maybe even the living people around them that they're connected to that are causing their life to be in disarray. Mm-hmm. Spiritually, I mean, as opposed to medically.
Yeah, no, it definitely comes up in a lot of readings that I do. You know, I've been doing a lot of expos and I've been doing a lot of readings outside, booked off of my website and everything like that. And just tuning into somebody, I usually tune in first to kind of see what's around them or in their aura and stuff like that. And sometimes things are definitely there. A lot of the times it's really benign. It's just Grandpa Joe or, you know, it's other spirits or past loved ones. But sometimes I'm like, ooh, there is something here, you know, type of thing. And then it's like you put up that extra protection and that. Another interesting one that I've actually picked up on as well is extraterrestrials as well, aliens.
What? Mm-hmm. So when you're dealing with somebody, there's an extraterrestrial presence in them or around them?
They'll come through for the reading and have messages for them. And a lot of the times they'll talk, but I don't understand the language and I won't even try attempting to speak it because it's just so... I'd probably feel very silly doing it, as well as it's really hard to imitate, but I can hear the language as well.
See, are you sure it's not a smart ass ghost like me? It was like, I'm going to tell her I'm an alien. Nanu. Let's see her pass this message on. No.
Well, because it's got a different vibration, a different energy level compared to like a loved one or like if it's a darker energy or, you know, like a demon or something lower level energy, that extraterrestrial is definitely, I always feel much lighter. I get like super tingly and everything. It's just a different feel to it.
Do you feel that this extraterrestrial might not necessarily be attached to them as though it's another being, but it might be a reflection of who they once were?
It could be. Yeah. I think actually at the last expo that I was at, one had come through to reveal that she was a starseed or she had past lives on other planets. Cause that was one of her, that's what she wanted her reading to focus on was past lives. And it came through. And it was interesting because then as I even drew out my cards just for clarification and for that, Galactic came up as well. So I'm like, you can't make this up. You can't make this up. So, yeah.
I'm doing my best to be a gentleman here and not ask if they were from the planet Uranus or if it was just, a passing through. How about you, Echo? Alien activity, alien energy. Do you pick up a lot of that?
Yes. And you know what? I could, like, if I'm walking, let's say I'm at the mall and I just look over at someone, I can see past their human beingness, mm-hmm. that they are alien that came here to experience being human. Mm-hmm. I can see them.
Do they seem to be aware of it as well? Like, do they ever snap their head and look at the psychic that's picking up on their nonsense or what?
You know, honey, that's a good question because I've wondered, do they know? But they don't seem, but I don't go up to them and start talking. I just, I can see that they were in their previous life from a different planet.
Mm-hmm. See, I would fight the urge to just look at them and then give them the eyebrow and then do this and see if they respond.
No, they're going to look at me like, oh, lady, come on.
Come on, Echo.
Jamie, you know what? I had a kind of a channeling one time from this man, this spirit. He said he was from the planet Ura.
Okay.
And he said to me, he said, for me to try to communicate to you is like you trying to communicate to an ant.
Ooh, so he's a little rude.
Yeah. And he said, this is not easy for me to try to put these words in English. It was quite, it took,
wow.
Honey, it was you guys, it was an absolutely fascinating story of a kid. I mean, do we have time? I won't take long, but it's.
Please, go ahead. We've got all the, it's my show. We could be on till tomorrow.
Right, it's your show, Dave. Okay, so this counselor from a company called me and said, would you see one of our employees? He's really bothered, and she said, I can't help him. And that's all she said. So I said, sure, okay. So we met at a restaurant, and the sweetest young man, and he just said, I just don't feel like I belong here. I don't know what's wrong with me. I've had a terrible life. And all of a sudden, honey, all of a sudden this soul starts to come to me, and he looked, well, he was pure white, and he, then right behind him was another spirit, alien spirit, and then another one and another one. And there was nothing, by looking at them, there was nothing that said, this is the mom, this is the dad, but it was the energy that they were giving off. Okay, so this father starts to talk. So I said to this young man, okay, I'm just going to close my eyes. I'm just going to tell you whatever this person is. At first I thought, oh my God, am I going to tell him that this is an alien? I thought, I don't know if he can handle this. Okay, all right, just close your eyes. So I did. This guy talked for over an hour to the young man. What I remember him saying was, you have to stop watching that movie. You've watched it 13 times and it's not good for you. And he said, you wanted to be an earth person so bad. And we said, okay, you can be an earth person. And that's why you've had all these horrible experiences, so that you can learn compassion for earth people. And that's when the father said to me, trying to communicate to you is like you trying to communicate to an ant. And he said, this is very hard for me. And then he said, by the time you get home, because, honey, he said so many things to me that were so fascinating. He said, by the time you get home, you will have forgotten everything that I said to you, except portions that are okay for you to remember. And I thought to myself, there's no way I'm going to forget this conversation. This is just amazing. I mean, he's talking to me about other galaxies and planets and other galaxies and God. And I mean, this guy was blowing my mind. And he said that his son, this kid, he was their son. And please be patient. Please learn everything you can from being human. And when you have learned everything you can, then we'll come and take you back home. Okay. So my first question to him was, what movie did you see 13 times? And he said, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. He had watched 13 times. And he told me that when he was a little boy, he used to go out, he would crawl out of his crib, go outside and sit in the front yard and look up. And his parents would find him out there in the middle of the night, take him in the house again, lock the door, blah, blah, blah. Wow. And he did that until he was three. And then he stopped, because he figured whatever it was that was going to come and get him, they must not be coming. And so, yeah. I mean, and he did. He had a hard, hard life. But you know what, honey? His counselor called me 2 days later and said, she said, what did you say to this kid? And I said, oh, I wasn't going to tell her. And so
you were afraid you'd be in counseling.
I know.
Probably.
I said, we just had this really intense conversation. And she said, well, he's like a brand new person. And you know what it was? He finally just understood himself. Mm-hmm. And he was calm. And he was right. Actually, you know, the funny thing, too, was that night I was driving home. I drove over to my mom's right away because I thought, okay, I got to tell my mom all this. It's just blowing my mind. But I yelled at God. I said, look, it's bad enough that I have to talk to the dead, but now I have to talk to aliens, I said, I'm not doing it. Forget it. I'm never talking to another alien. And so I get to my mom's. I go, oh, my God, I've got so much to tell you. And all I remembered was Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
They men in blacked you.
They did men in black me. They did, honey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is remarkable. And that was a healing, right? It was this cathartic. That sounds very much like other reincarnation stories, that these kids will be almost obsessed with this past life until they're finally able to confront it. Yes. And then it just kind of dissipates, like, okay, it was real. Now I can be Dave Schrader instead of, you know, Jaime Lowenstein or whatever I was in my last life, right?
Have you guys seen that show on A&E called The Ghost Within My Child?
Yes.
Oh, smokes.
Okay.
Jimmy, have you seen it, honey?
No, I have not.
Oh, honey, you have to. I mean, okay. Isn't that amazing?
I love how you're like the most sweet Barbara, you know, Eden-y kind of, oh, honey. And then 2 seconds later, you're like, hey, God, I don't want to talk to fucking ghosts or fucking aliens. There's a dichotomy going on here, Bodine. I don't really understand.
But did you notice I didn't say
I know. No, but for those of us watching, for those of you that didn't hear it, when there was that pause in between, she was filthy. Filthy.
Dirty.
One of my all-time favorite stories I told Jamie before the show was we had Echo in studio one night. We were doing reading after reading after reading, and she was just taking calls and doing these short little blip readings. And this one guy just called in so negative, so downer. And Echo, this is the only thing. She's always, oh, honey, things are going to be better. Honey, you've got to do this to feel better, honey. And honey, honey, honey. And then she goes, oh, you've just got, like, you're just covered in shit. You need a shower. It was the funniest thing I ever. This guy just froze. He's like, huh? She goes, you've got this negativity and just, I don't know. It's just shit. But I love that you were so candid about it. And I've mentioned, then I have your brother on the show. You're all, oh, honey, honey, it's going to be light and rainbows. Your brother's on the show like, man, I hope you have your affairs in a line because things do not look good for you, man. He goes, Michael Bodine, he goes right for the jugular. And I love that about him, too.
Yes, he does.
All right. Now,
that's my alien story there.
Yeah, I love it. So there is this dynamic, this energy that flows between us, the universe, one another, the spirit realm. People are always afraid. And I'll start with you, Jamie, on this one. People are always afraid of picking up attachments. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious what your thoughts are. You know, I mean, going through a cemetery, can you pick up an attachment going to a haunted location? Do spirits really just kind of, you know, sucker onto you and just hang with you after that? What's your thoughts?
I definitely think that they can follow you home. And especially those of us who, like if I went into the cemetery or even if Echo did or other people who are like sensitives, right? We go into the cemetery or haunted place. I think we kind of like shine or look different on the other side, right? So they're able to pick up on that. And so, and like a good friend of mine said, if I knew you were a psychic medium and you could hear me, I'd probably follow you home too, type of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So, because then that's how they might be able to communicate. And that's when they're like, hey, you got to get this message out. Hey, you got to get this message out. But sometimes other stuff might follow you home too. And it's definitely really important to do different protections and cutting and clearing and that whenever you leave those type of spaces. And just to have that awareness.
Echo, you've been the resident ghostbuster for years in Minnesota. People call you, call your brother, called your mother in to help try to rid places of spirits. And so, you know, what about the fact that spirits can attach? And obviously you said it, when you've done healings, you've seen them kind of suckered onto people. How do we get attachments and how can we keep ourselves cleaved of them? What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, honey, I don't know if I'm the one to ask because, you know, the ghosts that I've met, they don't want to go anywhere. They just want to stay in that house. And, you know, it's like every time a ghost goes in a house, they pick out their area and then they just stay there. And it's just the strangest thing. So, you know, we've walked in so many houses where there's a ghost in the shower and a ghost in the kitchen and a ghost in the bedroom and a ghost downstairs in the basement. And then, we can say to each one of them, okay, what's your name? My name's Fred. Okay, Fred, are there any more of you? Yeah, Charlie's up in the attic and Lucy's down in the basement. And okay, well, do you guys hang out? No, why would I hang out with them? Well, because you're all dead. No, I don't know them. I don't want to hang out with them. It's so strange to me that they don't hang out with each other. Why? Why don't you guys get together and talk? But okay.
Because I can tell you, I've lived through a pandemic with 9 of us in one house. We all stay in separate rooms because we just get sick of each other.
Very good point.
And you've got eternity, and these beings don't know time, right? I mean, it's just always.
No, they haven't got a clue. No. Yeah. But they, honey, really, the ones that I've met, even I met a haunted car. I mean, an actual haunted car. And this guy just lives in his car. It was like a 52 Buick or something. And it was cute because his wife didn't say anything to me about it. She wanted me to check out their house. But I walked by this car. It's like, what? There's a guy in there. And so I walk over to the guy. I go, hello? And he goes, yo, like that. And I said, why are you in this car? He said, because I love my car and I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to stay here with my car. And so when I went in the house, I told the wife and she burst out laughing. She said, yeah, we all say that, you know, Herb is probably still in the Buick out in the garage. And he is. So the ghosts that I've met, they just stay. And people have called and said, okay, is my ghost going to follow me to the new house? And so what we do is after they move, then we go and check and see. But, honey, I would say 9 out of 10 cases, the ghost is still back at the old place just waiting to hang out with the new people.
Well, I want to bring you back to a part you glossed over quickly, but I know our listeners heard it. I'll be in a house and there's a ghost in the shower.
Yeah.
And they just hang there. That probably just unnerved everybody. More than a psycho movie, they're not going to want to take a shower. I thought that was the silliest. Again, if any part in the house, why would you want to, you know, people poop there. Why would you want to be in the bathroom? And I had this house, this woman had told me was haunted. She's like, I think there's something in the bathroom. Sometimes I'll hear stuff in there when I'm showering. I get the sense that sometimes it's in the shower with me. And I'm, you know, I always try to be polite and respectful because I don't know what these people's real stories are. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's interesting. We'll have to check that out. And I had to use her restroom at one point, and I'm in the restroom in a very prone position. Curtain is 4 or 5 feet in front of me, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm kind of shaking my head thinking, a haunted bathroom. And all of a sudden, the curtain starts billowing towards me. And I was like, what the flip? And I'm looking for like air vents above or below. Did something, you know, like the air kick on and blow this thing?
Nothing
there. And this thing like came out like a human form in the shape right at me and then drifted back. And I remember laughing and thinking, you sick pervert, I'm taking a deuce here. And you're going to really lean out to look at me through the shower curtain to let me know who's got the power, pal. I'm not leaving. You're the one in worse trouble than I am. But really, why would they hang out in a bathroom? That's the weirdest thing. Is it just to get their jollies looking at naked people?
Honestly, I don't know. But I can tell you a very high percentage of ghosts hang out in the shower. I know it's creepy. I don't like thinking about it either.
Do you think it has to do, especially in the older houses that have metal piping and it's a water source, is it creating an electrostatic, like a source for them to feed off, an energy source?
Oh, honey, I don't know. I don't know.
I think that it could be. And I guess the other thing that comes to my mind, too, of why maybe it could be bathrooms is because, well, what came to my mind was like some people might commit suicide, or that's where you kind of go in and you're getting ready for the day and you're always thinking about different things. So that could be a buildup of different energies in the bathroom too.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, my dad, Bill from Florida, just talked to me today. He's like, yeah, I just had to, my wife wanted the ceiling and the sun porch painted haint blue. Mm-hmm. And he goes, do you know why we do that? And I said, yeah. I said, it's the belief, the system that it keeps ghosts at bay. He said, yeah. He goes, because when the old cultures came here with the voodoo hoodoo feel, they believed that ghosts could not cross bodies of water. So they would paint the ceilings and sometimes the floor of their breezeways leading into the house blue so that it might confuse the ghosts to think it's water. So they wouldn't want to cross over it. Right. So, but it's true. Look it up. It's a crazy deal. Look up Haint Blue, H-A-I-N-T, which is like Southern for haunted blue or ghost, right? That Haint Blue helps to protect some of these places. So maybe you're right. Maybe there have been some suicides and the water in the pipes, the water there keeps these spirits. That's an interesting element. But we have had weird experiences ghost hunting. Echo, we went to a house together in Minneapolis. Remember, the family called us in and you and I went there with a couple of people and we were looking around and you're like, honey, there's too much energy. I'm going to go sit in the kitchen. And, and then we went down there and we did EVP in the bathroom and we kept capturing electronic voice phenomena. And you're like, oh, honey, that's not a happy spirit. We shouldn't be messing around with it. And, I'm like, well, you're here. You're the Ghostbuster. You're like, oh, yeah, but I don't like ghosts, Dave. They're creepy. I had a laugh. I'm like, but you're the Ghostbuster. You go, yeah, but I don't like them. I don't like these creepy ass ghosts.
I don't like them.
Do they scare you still?
I don't even remember. Yes. If you ever noticed, I either was walking behind you or walking behind my brother, looking over his shoulder. Okay, yeah. I'm not a fan of ghosts, but unfortunately I can see them. And so, you know, what are you going to do with it? You might as well do something with it. So that's why we did it. But.
Well, now I also wonder if the hauntings that we deal with, those echoes of the past, aren't really true forms of the ghost, but they're memories. They're aspects of that personality that still remain attached to us. And I did at one of the Body Life Spirit Expos that used to be here in Minnesota. I did something called a cord cutting. This beautiful young lady was telling me about cord cutting and I just thought, wow, she's pretty. I'll listen to whatever she has to say. Right. And I'm a stupid guy. And she's like, you know, you've got some attachments and I'd like to do this work on you. And I was there with Mally Fox at the time and, our former co-host and such. And she goes, but she puts headphones on me. She puts a blindfold over my eye tight. And she starts playing this like really nice, meditation music, and it's loud. So I cannot hear conversations. And she's got this Harry Potter looking stick with a gem on the end. And she's kind of walking around me and clearing. And I don't know what she's doing. I've watched her do other people. And to me, it just looks silly. Right. But as I'm sitting there and I'm going to try to get the shoulder. Okay. So it's this one. Yeah. So I'm sitting there listening to the music and all of a sudden I feel this tug on my shoulder. Like somebody was pulling a string from above me and I'm going like this. And I was like, what's going on? Now I can't see, I can't hear. And it just keeps going up. And all of a sudden it goes like, it just snapped. Wow. And I remember kind of turning my head. And when I got done, she finished up the stuff. We got done. She goes, what did you think? And I said, it was good. But I think sitting here too long was causing me to spasm my shoulder. And she looked over at Mally and they started laughing. She goes, you had a big cord. I told him, somebody is really deeply rooted here and it's connecting into your shoulder. And she goes, I was sawing away at that thing. And as I was sawing away, your shoulder was bouncing. And she goes, and when it finally snapped, you just looked like it, like a puppet had been cut from its string. And that made me a believer. And I got to tell you, I felt fresh. I felt different after that for a couple of months. And then I talked to her about it. And we even had her on the radio show back in the day. And I feel horrible that I can't remember her name right now. She was such a wonderful healer and just such a sweet soul. But she was telling me about what was going on. And she said, and I would like your guys' take on this. She said, everybody we come into contact with. So Echo, you and I, we've been friends for years. Every time I give you that hug and we separate, we're kind of always connected. Yep. And Jamie, the same with us. We had a great time at this event. We hugged. It was emotional to say goodbye to my new friend. We've made this now. We've left a part of each other with one another that's always kind of there. And we have to remember to pull back those pieces of ourselves once in a while. It doesn't mean I don't love Jamie. I don't love Echo anymore. It just means that I gotta get whole again once in a while. And then I got to cut those straps from me.
Yep.
Echo, what do you think about it? Is there some legitimacy to that? Or is that just crazy talk?
No, honey, I think that's really important that we do that on a daily basis, ask the universe to clear us. And, oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, clear our mind, clear our body, clear our soul. I remember one time when my psychic teacher walked into my office and she said, oh, my God, you got to clear this place. And it had never occurred to me because I was doing healings in there all the time. So I thought it would just be full of healing energy. But she said, Echo, all this stuff that has come out of people is here in your office. So you have to clear it. And so like the Native American Indians say, open up a window so that all the energy can go out. And then do, you know, you can do sweetgrass, you can do sage, you can do Florida water. I look like I'm a commercial, don't I?
I don't.
Put the tent all for $99.99. Echo Bodine will kiss every piece before she sends it to you.
Oh, my. There. Now, that just gave it 10
Palo
more.
Santo. Palo Santo water, right?
Palo Santo, yes. So there are things that you can buy to, because every one of them smells so different and so nice. And just to walk into a room that's been, you know, smudged, it just feels wonderful. So I think we should all do it every day.
I want to talk more about this. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. You're listening to the best in paranormal podcasting. I'm Dave Schrader. This is Darkness Radio. And welcome back to the program. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. And I want to remind everybody, if you're interested, I do have a few of my packages still available. I'll have Echo kiss them for you as well, if you'd like. My autographed book, The Other Side, A Guide to Ghost Hunting and the Paranormal. This is good bathroom reading. So while you're in there talking to the ghosts, you can read about the ways to protect yourself and your family while pooping. There's also a Holzer Files card I'll sign for you. And we do have the Darkness Radio, coveted Darkness Radio decal for your car, your laptop, your back, your dog, whatever you want to put it on. It's great for that $50 value. There's $50 worth of stuff, $40. If you're interested, email me, dave@darknessradio.com. That's dave@darknessradio.com. And we will send you an invoice. We'll get those autographs signed up and shout out to you as soon as possible. Before the break, Echo, we were talking about things to use to clear, and you were holding up a bunch of different items. Now, I do have an interesting story, right? One of the first investigations I did here. Did you just light something?
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you're trying to clear this conversation? Yeah, I can smell it. Yeah, it's delicious.
There you go, honey. There, I just cleared.
That's
you.
Much better than sage. Oh, I'm not a big fan of white sage. We did this investigation in Stillwater, and at the end of the investigation, they did this deal with us with sage to clear the energy. And I'm just kind of laughing. I'm like, yeah, stinky sock burning is going to get rid of a ghost. If they'll sit in the bathroom, what is this going to do for us? And she's waving around and all this and gives me the piece left over. And I put it in my bag and I throw my stuff in the trunk and I head home. It's like 2:30 in the morning. I'm driving. Oh, see, the ghosts are calling right now. I'm driving home. And I start a sneezing attack in the car. So I'm kind of weaving and then I pull it up. Well, 2 o'clock in the morning, weaving on a Minnesota road, you know what's coming.
No.
Cop cars behind me. So he pulls me over. He comes over and he goes, hey, you know why I pulled you over? And I said, I wasn't speeding. He goes, no, you were weaving. I said, oh, I had a sneezing attack. And he goes, oh, yeah, I can see why. What are you smoking? And I'm like, nothing. I don't smoke. Check my ashtray. And he goes, oh, you've been smoking. Come on out of the car. And all of a sudden it hit me. I'm like, oh, shit. And I go, officer, you're not going to believe this. And he goes, okay, what? And I said, I'm a paranormal investigator. And he goes, what is that? I said, I'm a ghost hunter. Oh, sure you are. And they go, I just came back from Stillwater at the warden's house. We did a clearing. And afterwards they used sage. And he goes, I got to admit, that's one of the most original I've ever heard. He goes, I know the smell of weed. And I go, in my trunk is my bag. You'll find the sage stick. And he goes, okay. He goes, I need you to stand over here. So he stood over there. He popped my trunk. He's keeping an eye on me. He opens up the bag. There's all the ghost hunting tools and the big sage smudge stick. And he smells it. And he goes, this is foul. What are you doing with this? I said, we try to get rid of ghosts. He goes, well, you could get a ticket for this. I said, it's not marijuana. It's white sage. It's just horrible smelling. Yeah. And he goes, yeah, I wouldn't have this in your car. I wouldn't ever have this in your car. So that was like my favorite, oh shit moment with the sage. And he sends me on my way. Meanwhile, all the other investigators are blown by me laughing because they think I got busted for speeding or something till the next day when I had to tell them it was sage related. But the creepiest story, and this is what I've never understood. like Florida water, I love. My God, that stuff smells good. You've given me bottles and I just put it on like cologne, right?
Yeah.
I figure it'll keep the bad things away and bring the good stuff to me because it smells good. But I've never understood the whole concept of sweetgrass and Palo Santo. Those smell nice. You know, sage smells good, but I don't understand how it affects things. And I believe most of it is actually in the intent behind why we use these tools. Mm-hmm. I had a story. This lady was complaining. She felt that there was a spirit in their child's room. And it was a baby. She was very worried because the baby would scream at night. The woman sensed there was something there. The husband got fed up after a while. He was a skeptic. He got the sage stick, lit it. And, you know, when you light it, what do? You blow it out so that it's just a smoke. Yeah. He's letting it burn, not knowing what to do. And he's sticking it in the room, waving it around. He's whining at his wife and it's burning. And he's like, all right, now the ghosts are gone. We're doing this. And he turns and you see the fire on the end of the stick. There's the smoke. A face appears in the smoke and goes and blows the fire out.
Wow.
He yanked his hand back and he's like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. The ghost blew the sage out for him. So how powerful is sage that the ghost is like, is this like that moment in the vampire movie? Like that doesn't work on me if you don't have faith in it. And they didn't put the kid back in that room. They shut the door and kind of left that room as storage going forward. But they saw in the smoke, a face come through and blow out the flame. Mm-hmm. That to me is one of the most terrifying stories I've ever heard. What do you make of that? How come the sage didn't work to clear it?
Oh my God. Okay, Jamie, honey, I got to jump in here.
Please, yeah.
Honey, it doesn't, sage, none of these things get rid of spirits. What these things do is it clears all the homeowners, the children's, all their fear and anxiety in the house about the ghosts. Because I've had ghosts say to me, why does that lady burn that crap all the time? And I've said, to get you to go. And he's like, I'm not going anywhere. He said, I just leave when she lights it, and then I come back afterwards. Okay, so it doesn't, I mean, honey, these things don't get rid of spirits like people think. It's the energy in the room from that baby that was crying all the time. That energy is what's stuck in the room. And, you know, who knows? It could have been a spirit guide that blew it out. I mean, if it just kept burning and, oh, God, can you imagine?
Yeah, that would be Echo, I love this, too. I think I've told this story on the show, but talking about the spirit guides, we had a guy, we had a guest on our radio show talking about this, and they were taking phone call after phone call, and, oh, who's my spirit guide? Oh, it's Michael the Archangel. Oh, it's Raphael. Oh, it's Azrael. It's this. It's that. I go, who's mine? And they go, Larry. I go, Larry? What the? I get Larry the cable guy is my head, like, gonna come out there and help you get rid of them there ghosts, Dave. Get her done. That's my spirit guide. It's a guy named Larry. I don't remember the name, but it was something stupid like that. So I love the fact that it's a spirit guide. Hey, that smells like crap. I'm blowing it out, right?
Yep.
So it doesn't, but it changes more of the energetic pattern of the room and breaks. Yeah. So you and your spouse are bickering and fighting in the bedroom. That clears that energy.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't get rid of ghosts. Really, it's so many ghosts I've seen that have asked, why are they burning that stuff?
So can we clear ourselves? Can we break those bonds to the living and the dead with these things?
That's a good one. What do you think, Jim?
I think they're good tools to assist in it. I think kind of like what we were already talking though about is it's more of that intention behind it and cutting that using your energy or calling in your spirit guides or angels and that to help you clean and clear whatever it may be. I mean, I've done cord cutting before and I kind of have an interesting, sage story if you want me to share that.
And just so you know, the reason I'm holding up my Waterloo water is because people think I'm getting soused drinking beer while we're doing the show. Yeah. It's just water. I swear to God, it's water. All right, go ahead, Jamie. Let's hear your sage story.
Okay, it was with an individual that I had done a reading over the phone, and they had booked off my website off of TikTok and that. And there was just something in me telling me, Jamie, just cancel the reading. I'm like, no, I can't do that. This is like, I just got my website up. I don't want to start that premise where I cancel readings and that, right? And she wanted me to kind of tune in and see what was around her house. I was doing that reading. And then it got to the end. I gave her a few extra minutes. And she's like, okay, I got one last. I'm getting chills talking about it. She's like, I got one last question for you. I'm like, okay. She's like, who's the pig man? So we started talking about that a little bit. And I was like, okay, that was weird. Kind of did a little clearing in that. And I talked to a good friend of mine. And I started like feeling off, like down, like just in this funk type of thing. And when I was talking to my friend, he's like, what's wrong with you? Like, what's around you and stuff? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, there's something off with you. Something's around you. So I was like, no. Nothing is going to get attached to me or follow me home or nothing like that. So I went home, opened up all my windows, opened up all my doors, and I started at the top of my house with a sage. And probably be pretty scary if you filmed me, because I'm like, you know, I command thee, whoever's in this house, you must leave now. You are not welcome here. Blah, blah. Like crazy woman, like just screaming, you know, saying like, this is my space and my, what, you know, I'm just doing the sage all around. Right. I get to the downstairs and I had this long hallway, and at the end of the hallway was like two doors. It was one door like this. And then it was the other door, like the porch door. Right. And I opened up the window on the door. There was no breeze coming in. Just as I was down the hall and I'm said, I command thee to leave out one of these doors or windows right now. Boom. Both of the doors just slammed at the same time.
Whoa.
Yeah. What we learned is that the real motivation is not necessarily the smoke. It's the use of the word the.
Yes.
Because if you're just like, I command you, the ghost is like, I'm sorry. I only respond to the more formal form of the.
Oh, my right? God. I'm just wrong. Yeah.
Why do we do that? I've been in places where I'm like, I command thee, I smite thee from this house. What the hell am I, Moses? Where I got my staff, you know, I don't know what's going on. Why do I feel that the old biblical words are going to help us? They didn't, right? It's so funny that that's the aspect we take.
Yeah.
But okay, so that was just doing a reading over the phone. You kind of got that energy.
Yeah. Then what was creepy about that was after I did that, I connected with my friend and it went over to his place because he woke up in the middle of the night and saw a pig in his room.
Oh.
You must be popular with your friends.
Oh.
Jamie, I'm not talking anymore about any of your readings that you do. I'm like, okay,
yeah.
Fine.
I'm clearing myself of you right now, Jamie, because if I wake up and there's a pig man in my room tonight and it's not me, we're going to have problems.
Yeah. That's right.
That's terrifying. Well,
yeah.
All right. So now we've talked about the intention behind why we do some of these things, and that the energetic principles of these chemicals or these sage and Palo Santo, it's more to clear your own energy fields. Is it your auric field? Would that be the right term to use? It's more like cleaning that around you. I'm asking the.
Okay.
The answer.
Honey, it's just all the energy in the room from people, you know?
Okay, sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, okay, here's an example. When Princess Diana died, I was downstairs in the basement downstairs.
That's good. Yeah, I hate my basement upstairs. I never even go into that one.
I hate it. Okay, so I'm in the bedroom in the basement downstairs, and she had just died, and I was in there painting the walls. Okay. And that was probably, how many years ago did she die? A long time ago, right?
It's when like I walk 20 in that years room, ago, yeah.
When I walk in that room, first thing is Princess Diana has just died. Okay. So that is still in the room and the walls, because I was so sad when I was painting the whole thing, and it's still in that room. So see,
interesting.
That's the kind of energy that we go in and clear. Mm-hmm. Is right. Like you said, honey, a husband and wife are bickering about the stupid ghosts. No, we don't have a ghost. It's the pipes. Yes, we do have a ghost, blah, blah, blah. And so when we go in, we clear all of that. So
Len Dorman brings up an interesting point. He goes, spirits can travel through the phone and the internet. So that is a warning to live ghost hunts and ghost box sessions. What are your thoughts? I know it starts getting into a strange cross section, right? It's like, I mean, people ask me about Ouija boards. I say, I don't think a Ouija board's any more dangerous than an audio recorder or a spirit box. It's the intention you use behind it.
Yeah, well,
to deal with it.
There's a lot of spirits that are attached to a Ouija board. But
well, if you're not clearing it the right way and you don't know what you're doing, right?
Right, honey.
I use Dawn dish soap and clear them right off. Break That's through the grease and spirits.
So use it as a cutting board.
Yeah. So glad to hear that. God. Really, you know, it makes it sound like they get on the telephone wires and just kind of creep their way across the country. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Right. That's the big part of this. We don't know exactly how all of this energy transmission happens, right? Is it, I tell a lot of people that are depressive, that are in dark places, like you said, that guy just, he's covered in shit. He just needs a good shower. He needs to clear. And you don't mean like getting in with soap on a rope. You mean you just really need a spiritual cleansing. You need to kind of cut these cords, clear away the energies. And if you're always in this, oh, my life sucks and I'm stupid and I'm unattractive and nobody loves me and I'm blah, 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 you're going to just draw that shit to you.
Yeah, you
right?
are. Yeah,
it's just going to ooze all over you because you're in that level. You're in that slow motion vibrational tonality where the thing just kind of seeps onto you. Whereas if you're trying to stay positive, you're trying to help, you're remaining, and we all have bad days. That's why I say music is always such a great healer for me, is that energy. I get the music up and the energy up and my energy, and I'm singing out loud and I'm going at it. That really helps me repel a lot of that. And I do feel that. You could feel it. It's three crazy people on Darkness Radio talking about it. Try it. Play the best rock anthems or whatever you love. Yep. Feel that energy. Be a part of that energy and look how much different you feel than when you started. Yes. So you're going to attract different types of energies, right? Yep. You're going to repel the negative stuff. You're going to bring forward the good, or maybe the good doesn't need to come forward to you, but you're not, at least you're not in the anthill anymore. You're part of the sky.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. That was very profound sounding.
Very.
Did you enjoy the story?
Thee and thou did very well there, David.
I thankest thee.
Yes. Thee, it welcomes you. What?
Right.
Whatever.
So, but dealing with the living, when we make these connections, and I know a lot of people are afraid. I've told people, well, you need to make it cut, you know, but I love my kids and that I feel like I'm connected. And if I cut that, what if I don't know that there's a problem? But listen, I've got two teenage girls in my house. I've got three teenage boys. That's a lot of energy coming my way. Sometimes I need to, it doesn't mean I don't love you. It doesn't mean I don't care about you, but you also have to take care of you, because if you want to be there for somebody else, if you let them keep chipping away at you when they don't even know they're doing it, they're really kind of reducing you to rubble, and then you're not the fortification they need when they do have to lean on you when it's heavy, right? Do we treat that like a spirit? Do we talk to that energy? Do we say, Pacey, I love you. You're my daughter. I love you, but I need to break this line now. I need you to have your energy back, and I'm bringing my energy back from you. And realize that you're going to make that connection again tomorrow in moments of love or anger or passion with the people you care about. There's going to be that connection again. But how often should we be doing this before we get in bed? Should we be basking ourselves in golden light and energy, putting that intention and thought to it and prayer or whatever works best for us to try to, imagine these things falling aside? Or is that all just psycho babble? Mm-hmm. Jamie, what's your recommendation on that?
I guess I would definitely say daily, but even I don't do it daily. So, I mean, at least weekly or something, I would say. And I just think whenever we talk about cord cutting, and that I think about a really powerful experience that I had went through, is, what really helps me or for a lot of cleansing stuff is taking a bath. Cause again, the water, right, is healing and cleansing and that. And I did a cord cutting to get rid of some exes, and guys that I had dated, right? Kind of like let you go. And what was interesting though, as you say, to talk to them, it's their higher self can come through. Their higher self, and it's talking to their higher self and that. And I did also just, I'm like, okay, you know what? I just need to be in my own energy. So I cut every single cord, even the one with my kids and that. And I tell you, I have never felt that light in my entire life before. Mm-hmm. Like, I just felt so uplifting and so good. And yes, it's not like you cut the cord, it's permanent type of thing, because they can reattach, right? Or if you want to leave it, you can, but then you need to clean it. There's a way to clean it as well without just cutting it. But, and then you can also set that intention, like with those exes and that of like, nope, this is done. You are not reattaching ever, you know, not again in this lifetime. Your energy is yours. My energy is mine. And saying goodbye and what are the lessons we learned and all that kind of stuff to their higher self. What was interesting is that with one of the guys, I had talked to him a few days later and he's like, I don't know why, but like starting yesterday, which was the day after I did the cord cutting thing, he's like, I've just been feeling really like off and like lost and down. And like, I was like, oh my gosh, wow. What are the odds that that would happen?
Yeah.
Well, how many times do you start feeling an emotion? And I'm starting to realize this isn't mine. I've been really agitated and angry lately. Correct. And I'll snap at my wife or kids. And then I realize this isn't, I know this isn't me. I feel like this lashing out is coming from something or somewhere else. And then you talk to a friend or your dad or your mom and you realize you're just having a real shit day. Yeah. And then you wonder, boy, is this, am I the other end of this telephone line? They're dealing with it and they're frustrated. And because I'm loving them and I'm connected to them, I'm just kind of getting the backwash from that. Is Echo, do you feel that that happens to a lot of us when we get those emotions we can't place? Yeah.
Yes, honey, I do. Yes. As a matter of fact, this week I was thinking about doing a blog about it because so many people are feeling so much right now. And a lot of people now, the pandemic is, you know, a lot of it's everywhere again. And there's a lot of fear going on and people are really frustrated. They don't want to go back to the masks. They don't want to go back to being restricted again. And so people are, there's a lot of internal arguing going on. And so, and honey, like I said in class, we can walk by people like us. We can walk by someone that's got a headache or a stomach ache or they're really angry. And 2 seconds later, now we've got the headache. Now we've got the stomach ache. Now we're really angry. And so, again, like my teacher said, Bertie said, first of all, if your mood all of a sudden just changes, I mean, you woke up, you were in a great mood, but by the time you got to the office or wherever, you're crabby, you want to strike out at somebody or whatever, then we have to clear ourselves. And she always said, before you even step into bed at night, just stand there and ask the universe, please clear this day from me, clear all this energy that's not for my highest good. And then, she said, then you can crawl into bed because you're not bringing all that with you while you go to sleep. Because a lot of times what we're doing in our dreams is working out all the crap that we brought with us to our bed. Okay. Wow. And so, I mean, she felt it was really, really important to clear ourselves a lot and then clear ourselves before we go to bed. And if we notice after being around a certain person, all of a sudden we're angry again, or we're really depressed again, we have to, like she said, just imagine yourself handing it back to the person or just taking it and crushing it and saying, nope, this is not my stuff. Please clear this from me. Mm-hmm. And again, it's setting the intention that we want to be clear. And, you know, one of your, I see here, one of your readers is asking any tips on shielding ourselves. You know, what I do is when I know I'm going to be around someone that's got a lot of emotions going on, I just visualize a nice big kind of shield in front of me. And then I ask the universe to please protect me. And you know me and the mirror necklace. I always wear a mirror necklace when I'm out in public because it just reflects negativity away from me. And it really works for me. So those are my suggestions.
That I do love the mirrors. I was in sales for a long time and I would put a mirror in front of me and then I would have a mirror in front of me. So when I was talking to the people I was dealing with in sales, when their negativity, I just felt like, let me get it out of here. I don't want it. Let it reflect back to them, not to me. And people's emotions. Now, a lot of people, you know, the new key phrase is empath. I'm an empath. Everybody's an empath. Aren't we all empathetic? I mean, the whole concept is that we're all human. We're all tied together in this energy field. But that's why we have to give back. That's why we have to get rid of it. And by putting good things out to the universe, by putting yourself out and helping others, by making, you're lifting yourself to a higher vibration, you're going to fall away from those strands more often. Yep. Right?
Yes, honey. Yes. The universal law is like attracts like. So mm-hmm. whatever we are sending out is what we are going to bring towards us.
Yeah. Right.
And that Trinette, has people and spirits. Yeah.
Trinette Capps said, is there a way to cut cords without a professional? Could you go through that again one more time? What do we say at night before you get into bed tonight? Take a shower, wash off real good. What do you say to just clear yourself and give it back to the universe, Echo?
Well, what I do is, honey, I just stand there and I just say, God, please clear me of this day. Clear my mind, clear my body, clear my aura, clear my soul. And I imagine myself standing under a waterfall, really, of white energy. And then, boom, into bed I go. That's what I do.
And this is what we're going to do, folks. Stay with us through the end. We're getting close. We've got about 20 minutes left together here. But I'm gonna walk everybody that's listening tonight through an exercise that I want you to do. We're going to do it together, and I'm going to show you how to rid yourself of a problem, rid yourself of some of this negative energy. So stick with me. Ladies, if I forget, bang me over the forehead psychically and remind me so that we get back to it.
Better watch out if it's both of us at the same time.
My wife asks, as an empath, how do you cord cut the negativity without losing your own self, even though it's those living around or spiritual attachments that are so entangled into your life? Yeah, how do you not lose yourself in doing that? I think because, you know, my wife, she almost feels like she has to take on everybody else's problems.
Oh, honey, no. No.
Thank you. See?
Talk about bopping over somebody over the head. Mm-mm. There, I just smacked her over the head. No. No, 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 no. You are not doing anybody any service by taking on their crap. No.
I guess one thing that I would suggest to do is there's a difference between, because I'll play with colors a little bit. Because I'll usually, when I first started getting into spirituality and that, I would always use white light as protection, white light, right? But I notice sometimes I get where that question is coming from, because it's like you don't feel like you can be as genuine or connect as much. Or sometimes that my white light would be too high and I couldn't talk with spirits, right? So I started to experiment with more of like a pink light or that loving light or a green light. So try it with different colors, because then that way it's still providing that protection. So you don't take on that energy, but you can still connect.
Yeah, that's right. Honey, we can't hear you. David?
Uh-oh. Sorry, where are most cords attached? Susie Bloom asks, where are most cords attached on the body or the soul? Do we know? I know a lot of people talk about the back of the neck.
Yeah.
And God, the chest
isn't that
area.
Their word for that, there's like God center or something like that. When I envision them, they're always like on my stomach. That's where I envision them.
Yeah, that's where I would see them too. Mm-hmm. On or from my heart. Yeah, from my heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. I like that. I'm trying to look through. I know there were a couple other. Oh, this is an interesting one. Maureen McCormick says, can attachments be generational, like a generational curse?
Oh, God. Honey, I have no idea.
I don't. For attachments, I think it goes back to what Echo was saying in regards to more emotions, because I've actually, there was a coach that I was seeing, and I'm actually getting trained in this too. It's called NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming, mm-hmm. and it's a timeline technique. And I went into my timeline to heal various different things. And I found out like a lot of stuff went back 7 generations for me to mm-hmm. heal. And once that healed, I don't know, I just feel so much lighter and so much more healed and everything like that. So I don't know if I'd use the word attachment, but there's definitely different emotional aspects or core beliefs that can be passed down through generations, either consciously or unconsciously.
Okay.
Well, and let's throw some science in this, Maureen. That's a great question. Scientifically, we know that biologically we can carry genetic memory. That's how animals are born and know what to do. They know where to go, how to eat. You know, turtles are born, their mothers will take them, lay the eggs far away, and then they leave. And the turtle comes out, hatches, knows where it needs to go. As a matter of fact, if you ever see a turtle, I know we all want to help them. Did you know that by removing them from the path they were on can screw them up for life?
Ooh.
Right? So genetically, they know where to go. And if you take them off track, it's like us. If you remove somebody from the track they're supposed to be on, it can disengage their life. That's why it's always good when somebody's on a track, help them. Help them get to that place that they're striving to get to, yeah, and be a part of that. That's an important part as an empath, as a human, just being a part of that. But we do know genetic memory is passed down. So sure, why couldn't it? But then again, that's why you have to say, I'm calling back my energy. Whether you're thinking it to yourself in meditation or what, call back your energy and push out that doesn't belong to you.
Right.
Anything that is not for you, that does not benefit you, that does not help you. This is your time where you can be 100% selfish, yeah, because you're not hurting others by not being a part of them. Actually, right, you're probably hurting them. I love Echo. I love Jamie, but if I'm frustrated and pissed off today and I'm radiating that shit off of me and they're connected, they're probably getting that feedback as well, that biofeedback, that energetic. You're not doing them any favors. Clear yourself before you have a meltdown. You might tamper down the meltdown, but you might help a lot of people that you love to not feel part of that meltdown as well. So that's something I'm going to have to work on personally for myself. Because the problem is, we like the shit that goes wrong in our life. We wear them like badges. Look, I was brokenhearted at 14. I lost my dad when I was only 8. And we look at those. These are our shields. And instead of we think that this is what makes us strong. This isn't. This is just part of who we are.
Right.
And you're behind those shields. You are the meat of the life that you live. And it's okay to just be you and pull in you and push out those things that don't serve you.
Yep.
I think we have to get past the feeling of needing to feel wanted, needing to feel important, and realize if we don't keep ourselves in line most, we're not going to be of any use to anybody else in the world around us. So we have to start clearing and taking care of ourselves. Yep. Even the spirits, it might be reaching out looking for help, right? I mean, if you're in a constant state of chaos and this spirit does want your help, maybe that's why you hear the scream at night of these spirits saying your name, is because they're finally trying to get through, because in that moment, you're not all tensed out and freaking out.
Right.
You're in that moment and they're finally getting through. And maybe that's what you have to realize, is start cutting those cords, start cleaning yourself so that the messages can come through more clearly from the people we love, yeah, and from those that are important to us. Am I off on this?
No.
All right. You heard it here. I'm not off on this, folks. Thee has spoken. Let's see. We had another point here. Where was a couple other ones? I'm trying to. Sorry, folks. These are going by so quickly. When I try to scroll to look at them, it blasts me out. Okay, here's a kind of a heartbreaking but a thoughtful question. Tanya says, if I do cord cutting, how do I keep the cords with my husband who passed?
Well, I would think you could say that you wanted to keep that one, but you wanted to cut the others.
Mm-hmm. And if you still wanted to, you could still clean it instead of cutting it.
Okay.
Here's something to consider as well, folks. Does that connection serve you really? And does it serve the person you love?
I
think a lot of times spirits stay not because they want to, it's because we want them to. It's because our grieving is so powerful, we keep them landlocked, even a fragment of them. And sometimes the way to love somebody is to let that cord go. That's not disconnecting you from the feelings of love you felt for that person. What it's doing is giving you back space to love yourself and love those memories and emotions even more. And let that person go to the next level. We've lost them physically. And this is why it's so important. And I try to ruin mediums' careers all the time by saying this. Make right today while people are on this side of the ground.
Right.
Tell them you love them. Call somebody tomorrow. Make amends. And if you just can't, then cut the bonds and let it go. And then you don't need mediums like Jamie or Echo or Michael or, you know, any of these Chip Coffee, you don't need them anymore. And it's not putting them out of business. There's other things they can do in life, but make right today so that you don't have these regrets and wishes, and you don't need to cling so much to the echo of who somebody once was. You will have had a full, refreshing life. I think that's why I don't feel my mom around me. I don't feel her presence, because we had such a good, loving relationship. And I let her go at that time. And I feel guilty about it sometimes. I feel guilty, Tanya, because I feel like, did that make her feel bad? Like I didn't want her. I told her, Mom, it's okay. You can go now. I love you. You've done everything you can for me here. And it's okay. You can go now. Go get your rest. You did a great job. You've got children and great grandchildren and great great grandchildren that will carry on this life forever with the love that you've shared. It's okay. And sometimes I feel that guilt, but realize it's you feeling that. It's not your mom. It's not your ex-husband. It's not whoever. It's you. And you have to be okay with just letting go and enjoying what you once had with that person and not torturing yourself with this, oh, should I, shouldn't I stuff? Because again, you're not really losing them. They'll always be who you are and be a part of you. But like Jamie said, clean that line, clean it. Mm-hmm. And keep the positivity, but maybe don't call on them. You know, we all have that need, right? Echo, Mom, yeah. I need your help. You know, oh, come on. I'm up here polishing the pearly gates. I got poker in 5 minutes with Elvis and Prince. That's you know, right. You keep calling me back down. This is that's crazy.
Right. That's right.
So mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, that's why I wanted to talk to you guys about this. I think the world needs healing right now. What the world needs now, right? Sure we need hearing. But we can't work, and we can't work in these constraints if we're not healing ourselves and we're not taking care of ourselves. And you worry about the ghosts, and you worry about the attachments, and if you worry about you and who you are and what you can do to better yourself and get into that better evolution and help others, even when you feel like it's not paying dividends. Like I said at the beginning of this conversation, mm-hmm. Echo told me years ago, things will come, not in your time, not when you want them to, but they come. Mm-hmm. I wanted to meet my dad. I wanted a big family. I craved a big family, and I found them when it was the right time. Yeah. And everything comes in its own time. And that's powerful, man. That's powerful. You just have to understand that. You know, I was a little kid in my parents' garage playing on my tape recorder doing radio shows. I wanted a radio show when I was a kid. And it didn't happen until 1988 when I was 20 years old. And then only for 2 years. And then I wanted it. And I always wished I could have gotten it. And then in 2006, it came back to me. And we've been going for 16 years strong now. So nice. It comes to you when you're ready for it. And if you're always worried about it and trying to grab it, that's when you're the most desperate. Like in any relationship, the time you're the most desperate trying to hold on to that love is the time you kill it. Yeah. And sometimes just realize maybe there's some other lessons to learn along the way.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Thank you, Karen Erdman. She says, great show tonight. I appreciate that. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. We have just a little bit of time left. If there's any other quick questions, feel free to pop them up right now, and I will try to get to them. And in just a few minutes, I'm going to do a cool exercise with everybody. You know, it's funny, Jamie. I went to Echo's training class to develop psychic development, and I went in tongue-in-cheek thinking,
yeah, he did.
I don't know. Yeah. But man, did I have cool experiences. It opened me up to a lot of things, and it scared the shit out of me, to be honest with you, in a few instances, because you do realize the chasm between people is not as wide as you think it is, and the connections and the things that you can do if we try and we give up our expectations and just allow things to be. And that was a big message Echo told me when we were in class. She's like, just stop expecting you're going to see dead people. Stop expecting you're going to hear voices. Stop expecting this. Just accept whatever the gift is that you have and let it flourish and feed that plant and let it grow. And that's been a big portion of my life. And I've had great experiences. I don't consider myself a medium, but I've seen ghosts. I've heard ghosts. I've seen UFOs. I saw what I believe was a Bigfoot when I was a kid. I've had these experiences because I'm open to the concept of whatever it wants to show me. I will just be here to be its witness and share that story with my listeners. Echo, do you ever wish now, I mean, you've had a long career doing this. Do you ever wish there are times that you could just be Echo the, you know, secretary or Echo the firefighter instead of Echo the medium and psychic?
Yeah, honey, I do. Yes. And I'm finding the older I get, when people say, oh, what do you do for a living? I minimize what I do. Maybe I'll say I'm an author. I write books or something. Yes is the answer.
Jamie, do you ever wish this wasn't a gift that you had? Do you wish you could power it down?
I guess I would have to say no, just because by doing readings for people, and that it helps me help them find closure or help them find their way on their path or healing or something like that. And that helps fill my cup in a way. So, and it's just such a big part of my identity, but I can totally relate to you, Echo, when friends or in dating world and all that kind of stuff, they'll ask like, oh, what do you do? Is even just saying I'm a clinical therapist is dangerous too.
Yeah.
Because they think I'm psychoanalyzing them, but then throw a psychic medium on top of it. Whoa, if they're running out the door before you know it.
So. Yeah, you're psychic analyzing them. Yeah. Lara Sandling Bennett asks, any advice for an empath who's been closed off for years? What's a safe way for her to reopen and engage properly?
Well, I guess my question to her would be, why do you want to open it back up? What are you hoping to gain from that? Because being an empath, it can be very tough to live in this world if you're going to start feeling everybody else's feelings and everybody else's junk. So, you know.
Here's my suggestion. Get the book The Gift by Echo Bodine.
Thank you.
And seriously, and Still Small Voice. Those are two of the best books out there. And everybody I've recommended has been blown away on how it's got them back in the line. So you align why you're doing what you're doing, what you're hoping to achieve from it, and how to protect yourself. Because you're not closed off. You're just protecting right now. And there's a safe way to go back to it. So you just have to be willing to do that. Ginger has a deeper question for us. I'm not really sure how to put this, but as a child, I was molested for a long time. He's dead now. Can he still come and bother me still?
Well, I don't think he can, but if she suspects that he's going to, no, just, honey, Ginger, you just say everything you've ever wanted to say to that man. If you ever feel anybody around you that's giving you that creepy vibe, and but I would imagine they're keeping him on the other side, away from you. I would also guess that your guides are going to keep you protected from him. So, just watch out, sweetheart, that you don't continue to send off a victim energy, because then you're gonna attract kind of creepy men like that, and that can be really unfortunate. So,
and it's like we said earlier, we give a piece of ourselves to people, whether we mean to or not, and they give a piece to us. Clear yourself, and then don't give him any more energy. And this is the hardest thing in the world to grapple with. Forgive and give it up, because holding on to it and hating somebody is like a cancer. Hating somebody is like drinking poison and waiting for them to die.
Correct.
Right? It's an old saying, but it's true. And say, it was a lesson learned. And if you believe in reincarnation and you believe in the life between lives, when we choose this, now what can you do with the information and knowledge you gain from that? What can you do to help others so that they're not victims, or if they have been victimized, to be better and help them? And sometimes in going outside of yourself and helping others, you're going to get the help you need.
You know, honey, a thought just came to me, something my dad said a long time ago. I had had a very bad experience, and I went and I told my dad about it, and he looked at me and he said, Echo Lee, just don't stay raped, please. And what he meant by that is, don't just wear that, like you were talking about a badge, Dave.
Yeah.
It's like, no, don't just keep saying, I was raped, I was raped, I was raped. It's like, okay, it happened once and it's done, and don't keep wearing it, because that's how you're going to identify yourself after a while. And so it was an experience. You learned from it. You'll never have it again. So don't stay a victim from something that happened a long time ago in your life. Move on. Just move on. Move on. Ask the universe to help you heal all parts of that experience. Move on. And then you won't even think about that guy anymore. That's been my experience.
Right. The power you give to things is what makes it stronger. It's like the Freddy Krueger, and I don't mean to diminish the power of being raped to that, but when you don't pay attention to Freddy and you don't give him that energy, his power is no good, right? That's what the movies play. And I'm glad you said that, because as a man, that would upset people saying, oh yeah, sure, a man telling you to just get over something, when has that ever worked? But that's not what the point is. It's in the fact that for all of us that have got scars, you can wallow in the scars of the past, or and realize that's not what defines you, that you stood back up, dusted yourself off, and kept moving. That's what you'll be remembered for.
Yeah.
And that's an important thing.
Turn your scars into scars.
Ladies, I appreciate your time. I'm going to do this exercise in just a few moments. Echo Bodine, how can people get in touch with you? Have you got any new books, any new projects, anything going on?
Honey, I've got a new book coming out, but not until next August. Chip Coffee is writing the foreword for it, which is very nice.
Oh, fancy.
Next August, we will connect again, and I'll come back on and talk to you about my new book called How to Live Happily Ever After Life.
I like it.
That's Thank cool.
You. You can also find Echo at echobodine.com. That's echobodine.com. There'll be a link for her in today's program guide. Jamie, if people are looking for a reading and they want to connect with you, what's the best thing to do?
You can go to my website, which is listed below there, and I do have the option to be able to book a reading through there. You can pay through it and pick a date and time. I will be also having some more expos coming up throughout Minnesota and Wisconsin, so I'll be at the various different ones. I'll probably be posting those on my Facebook, Instagram, and I need to get back on with TikTok again. But, you know, life takes over sometimes. So,
agreed. And we'll have a link for Jamie. This link right here will be on today's program guide, IndigoCirrus.com, S-E-E-R-E-S-S. IndigoCirrus.com, so you can check that out on the website and be able to connect with Jamie as well. I want to thank all the great listeners who had great questions, thoughts, and concerns tonight and shared them openly with us as a group. We hope maybe there was a little healing or a little help that took place, or at least the start. Now, here's a cool experiment I want to do with you. I did this as a UFO summoning experiment on a cruise ship 2 years ago. And what's funny is what happened afterwards. Yes, we did have a sighting. There's no doubt about that. But the first part of the intention experiment had a different impact on people. And I want to help everybody with that right now. So I want you guys, wherever you are, to close your eyes and just relax. Unless you're driving and listening to this, please don't do this. Come back to it later. But I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to take some deep breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth. Another one, deep cleansing breath, deep in and out through the mouth. Now, with your eyes closed and continuing to breathe, I want you to put your hand out in front of you, your right hand out in front of you, palm up. All right. And I want you to imagine in the center of your palm, just this glob of viscous black tarry substance. And I want you to just picture it there sitting like a ball in the palm of your hand, like a ball of silly putty of just goo and darkness. And I want you to slowly, as you're taking these deep breaths, I want you to slowly curl your hand together into a fist surrounding that goop, that garbage. And I want you to see that goop in your hand. I want you to imagine something in your life that you feel is holding you back from the success, the love, the life that you deserve. And I want you to focus that thought into that black tarry substance. I want you to squeeze your palm. I want that goo to just sit there. And then you can feel it hardening with your concentration. Take in another deep breath through the nose and out through the mouth. And I want you to squeeze. And I want you to feel that black ball of goo getting hard and just cracking in your hand. You're squeezing so hard. As you focus that thing, whatever it may be, that's holding you back into that moment. And I want you to just have a moment of quiet and clarity as you deep breathe and think about putting that thing into that black ball. Now, as you squeeze this, I want you to feel the ball cracking. I want you to feel it separating and cracking in your hand, almost like a vibration to it. And as it cracks, I want you to see light breaking out through that black tarry substance. I want you to see it as it starts to vibrate and glow in your hand. I want you to focus on how beautiful that white light is. And then I want you to slowly turn your hand over so that it's facing palm down, still clenched in that fist. And I want you to think about that thing that has been holding you back, that thing that has been keeping you from what you want and deserve in your life. And I want you to focus it into that ball now of white, bright, brilliant light. And I want you to let it go. Open your hand slowly and just see that ball of light drop from your hand and watch it slowly drift up through the roof, through the ceiling and out of your home, out of your car, out of your backyard, wherever you may be sitting listening to this. And I want you to see that glow bright, almost as bright as the moon itself on a full moon night. I want you to see it brilliant and alive and know that you've given that back to the universe, but you've infused it with love. You've infused it with caring. And now you're going to set it free because it no longer belongs to you. And let it just go to the universe where it will be cleansed, cleaned, and returned to the universe. And I want you to be good to yourself. I want you to be kind to yourself. And remember that you need to be forgiving to you over anyone else in your lifetime. Those are the things that are the most important. And you can do this skill over and over every day, releasing the one thing that's bothering you today and giving it back to the universe. But taking it from this ugly, putrid, black, gooey, hard substance into a brilliant ball of light that's infused now with love and compassion and forgiveness, and just give it back. And do that every day to release that part of who you are and give it back, because it doesn't belong to you. You've taken it from somebody else. You've taken it from somebody else's attitude, somebody else on the road, somebody else at work, somebody at school, and now you've put it back out there. And you've sent it away with love so that the universe can take it and do with it what it needs to. Now take another deep cleansing breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. Now I want you to slowly open your eyes. And I want you to look at yourself in whatever reflective surface is near you or on your phone. And I want you to know everything's going to be okay. All right. You owe it to yourself and to the people you love to be okay. And there's no harm in giving that up. All right. That's a step to healing. And tonight, when you lay down in bed, take those deep breaths in after you've cleansed yourself and you've taken a shower and you've imagined that light around you. Get into bed tonight and deep breathe and imagine whatever muckety shit you've got in your brain still stirring around that keeps you up at night. I want you to imagine it as black smoke. And every time you take in a deep breath, you just see golden light come in and start to push that smoke down. And I want you to just see it pushing down with every breath until it comes out through the soles of your feet and let it go until you can almost feel the entire inside of you just radiating golden light, and do that every night. And notice how easy it gets night after night when you do this. And that's you taking ownership. That's you allowing yourself some healing time, and see if that helps you start to sleep a little bit better at night. Mm-hmm. All right. You guys.
Thank you, honey. Thank you.
Gotta take care of yourselves. We'll see you again next week.
All right, you darling.
Radio.